Well, it's a brand new year and time to welcome back our resident legal guru, Brian Hughes, who's the consultant solicitor from one of our advertisers, Shenfield-based Rayner Hughes. So welcome back and happy new year to you, Brian.
And a happy new year to you too, Scott.
So what are you going to be talking to us about today?
I don't know whether you've noticed the amount of building going on in the area. There are big poster boards.
And frightening.
Yeah, and advertisements announcing the construction of new homes and flats all over the place. Mm-hmm. But building land doesn't appear out of thin air. So where does all this land for these developments come from? I thought I'd try and answer that today and look at what's involved in selling your house or part of your garden to a developer for redevelopment. But first off, having just celebrated my 84th birthday, I don't believe it, I've decided...
I don't either. You don't look a day over about 25. It's incredible.
Well, I can't understand, you know, that myself. I've decided to effectively retire from legal work and instead concentrate on non-legal matters, like writing another couple of books. It's far less stressful, and I reckon I deserve a break. Being a solicitor for 55 years is long enough for anyone.
Well, I think anyone can appreciate that, why you'd want to do that. But I hope that you'll still find time to come in and give us the benefit of your advice from time to time. But right now, where do you want to start with today's topic?
The starting point for any potential sale of land, whether it be your home or part of your garden or any other land you own, come to that, is establishing its value as a potential building site. A good independent surveyor can give you the approximate value. You then need advice on realizing the full value of whatever you're selling. And this is where a good accountant or a good lawyer comes in. The same need for establishing value has to apply to the executors of a deceased person's estate, where the home of the deceased or the plot on which it stands can be redeveloped.
Now, I guess that you're including in this the situation as regards capital gains tax, etc.
That's right. If you sell your house in which you live and buy another within 3 years of your sale, you don't incur any additional stamp duty liability on the purchase of your replacement property. That's automatic. Mm-hmm. Of course, most people sell one property and buy another simultaneously, but there are quite a few people who sell part of their garden before they sell the house in which they live, or who sell their home and don't buy another one. I'm thinking, for example, of an elderly widow or widower who decides to go on into sheltered accommodation or a care home, or the survivor of an elderly couple who then dies, leaving his or her executors to deal with the sale of the former family home. Now, the tax on the property or the plot that forms part of it can in each case be very different, depending on how and when the property or plot is sold. If, for example, you sell a plot while it's still part of your garden, no capital gains tax will be payable on it. But if you were to register the plot at the land registry with a new and separate title, move house, and then sell the plot, capital gains tax would be payable. So taking advice on the way in which the sale of your house or your plot is effected can be very important.
So what should house owners or executors do before they sell a property, which could be or could contain a potential building plot?
They should, as I've said, take expert advice, for the simple reason they wish that the property they wish to sell may be far more valuable as a building plot than as a home. There are loads of developers around looking for a bargain, and I've seen many a bungalow with a large garden belonging to an elderly person or vested in their executors being snapped up and knocked down. The developer then puts up a massive house on the plot in place of the original house. Exactly that happened to my parents' bungalow some years ago after my widowed mother had sold it. I've seen this happen to elderly people many times.
Right, so you've taken legal advice and want to sell your property as a part of it, as a building plot, and you've obtained an approximate value. What next?
Well, that depends. You can either hang on to the potential plot if it forms part of a garden where you're the executors and sole beneficiaries, and realise its actual value as a building plot at a later date as beneficiaries by applying for planning permission sometime after the estate has been wound up. Or, alternatively, you can sell the house and the potential plot together if the two are worth more than the house to a developer.
So what options are there when you sell to a developer?
There are basically two options. You can either sell by way of a conditional contract, which is most likely if the developer is pretty certain to obtain planning permission for a one-to-one replacement property, or the redevelopment of the part of the garden that is potentially a building plot. But if the developer's not so confident that a profitable planning consent can be agreed, he will probably want to enter into an option to purchase agreement for the property as a whole or just part of it.
Okay, so let's start with a conditional contract. How does this work?
These are most appropriate where the potential building plot is in an area zoned for redevelopment purposes. A price for the house or the potential building plot is agreed between the seller and the developer, and the developer enters into a binding contract, pays a 10% deposit of the agreed purchase price to the seller's solicitors as a stakeholder. Now, that's normal in the case of a sale of a property. In other words, the house or plot is not handed over to the seller until completion of the purchase takes place. In the contract, however, is a condition that the developer must obtain a planning consent on terms agreed by them both within a limited period of time. The seller might agree, for example, that completion of the sale is conditional on the developer getting consent for a three-bedroom house on the plot. If he does get the permission, he has to complete or forfeit his deposit. Now, you'll appreciate that developers don't like forfeiting deposits.
It's a surprise.
So they'll normally go for the safe option. And then, having completed the purchase and being sure of getting their consent, they apply for a 4 or 5 bedroom house instead of 3. If the developer's lucky, he may succeed on a revised application. But the advantage for the developer is that he's tied the seller down to a contract before any other developer steps in and makes a higher offer.
So, to the other option, to purchase, what about that?
This sort of agreement is usually entered into where the developer's taking a punt on getting what it considers a satisfactory planning consent, and I emphasise the word satisfactory, and is willing to part with some money for the opportunity to do so. Say, for example, a developer locates a barn on a farm, which might possibly be converted into a private house, but he's not sure he can get that consent, or a vacant piece of land between a railway line and the back of gardens of houses in a street where it might be possible to put up a block of flats. In this sort of case, the developer thinks, yeah, it could well be worth my while to enter into an option agreement.
So what does the developer do then?
He offers a non-returnable cash sum, a premium of between £5,000 and £10,000, for the right to apply for a satisfactory planning consent and complete the purchase of the land or building at an agreed figure within a certain period of time. Now, the developer may have an awful lot of investigation to do, including consultation with the local authority and with water, drainage and electricity companies, and having done all this, then apply for planning consent. He may not get it on the first application, and he may have to appeal or comply with condition attached to that consent that he does actually obtain.
Now, I note that you use the word satisfactory in connection with the option agreement, but not in the case of a conditional contract. Is this significant?
Yes, it is. Well, in the case of an option agreement, a developer will say, if I don't get a satisfactory consent within usually 18 months, plus an additional 6 months to appeal or meet conditions imposed by the local authority, which gives me a decent profit, I'll walk away from the deal and you can keep the premium, the cash sum I've paid you. But if I get one, we'll put that premium I've paid towards the purchase price.
But what's to stop the seller finding some other developer prepared to offer a higher price once the first developer has done all the necessary preparatory investigation and then just handing the cash back to the first developer?
Yeah, I'm sure that thought has occurred to a lot of sellers, but it's also obviously occurred to a lot of developers as well. The standard option agreement and the standard conditional contract oblige the seller to do everything necessary to assist the developer in obtaining the necessary planning consent, and they also both allow the developer to register a notice against the seller's title, preventing anyone else from stepping in before the agreed time limit has expired.
All right, well, that's all very interesting, Brian, and I guess that a lot of people are now wondering whether they should squeeze the building plot out of their garden and can sell their property on the basis of potential planning consent for a much larger property or development. Now, in spite of your caveat at the start of today, I hope that we can expect to see you again a little bit later on. So that being the case, I'm assuming that that's going to happen. Have you given any thought on what you might cover next time around?
I've been thinking about this, and I thought it might be useful to revisit one of the 25 topics.
25 topics?
Yeah, we've covered to date, and bring them up to date. I mean, I've been giving these programmes for well over 2 years now. And
no, I hadn't realised it was that long.
Yeah, yeah, and the law doesn't stay static. So no. I'll have a look through my 25 and see which ones need a bit of bringing up to date.
Fair enough. Thank you very much indeed. We'll look forward to that next time.